bid you well again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. I know Dennis just made a comment about my sermon today, but Dennis, you can see how lengthy it could become, so I'll just count on you to kind of fill in the gaps when it's time for you to fill in for me again in preaching. Now that I said that, my family was away last week, and Dennis did fill in for me in the sermon part last Sunday morning, so I give him my thanks for that. Oh, no, it wasn't Dennis, it was Danny.
Danny.
But Dennis will do that, because we're going to be gone again pretty soon. Danny did that, and I didn't hear any negative comments. There weren't many messages on my machine, so when we came home, so appreciate that. And Clarence taught the Bible class on me last Sunday morning. And then Chris Delgado filled in for me last Lord's Day evening. So, again, welcome. We're glad that you're with us. Very, very, very pleased for your desire to assemble together for worship and enjoy friendship and fellowship. As you can see, there's an outline in the bulletin this morning, a rather lengthy one, and I have a preacher clock back here, so I will be taking notes, and we'll be out on time. But you have the notes, and so I kind of count on you to do some study on your own, or at least review, and that's kind of what the outline serves also. By way of introduction, the Bible says in Acts 5, verse 42, and I didn't put that one at the top of your notes, but Acts 5, verse 42, it says, every day in the temple and at home, they, meaning the Christians, the disciples, ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as Christ. They did not stop that particular endeavor. So in our everyday speech, you know, we sometimes hear the expression, I know what I did when I was a youngster, everyday clothes. You know, it might be we put on our work clothes. And now in our generation, we have workout clothes. We have our play clothes. We used to say Sunday clothes. My parents, you know, would lay out Saturday nights, these are your Sunday clothes. You know, they were different from everyday clothes. And kind of in similar fashion, some people view religion as a Sunday function. It's just something I do on the first day of the week. And I don't want to discourage you from attending worship on the first day of the week, but in this lesson, I want to encourage you to see that Christianity demands more from us than a Sunday go-to-meeting religion or experience. More than that. By way of illustration in your introduction, under the Old Testament system, they had daily services or daily sacrifices. In Exodus 29, it says, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other you'll offer in the evening. Every day there was a sacrifice that the Israelites had to give. In Exodus 30, it says, Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. So there was an obligation that God required from his people under the Old Testament law every day. There's something to do today, there's something to do tomorrow in sacrifice or in service to God. In the New Testament, every Christian is a priest, and so you and I have a priestly obligation as Christians. The Apostle Peter stated it this way, in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also, to his congregation, to the Christians that he's writing to, Peter says, ye Christians, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, that all the Christians, if you're a Christian, we're part of that holy priesthood. And then the next phrase, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Paul writes to the brethren in Rome, in Romans 12, he says, I beseech you, brethren, he's urging, he's pleading, he's praying. He kind of goes saying, this is a must, a requirement. Don't shortchange this. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. While we are breathing, while we are alive, there's a sacrifice that you and I need to make. A living sacrifice, which should be, he continues, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. So there's a service that we have to give. And it's while we are alive. I'm alive today, Lord willing, be alive tomorrow. There's another obligation or service that I need to give to God as part of my Christian living. So in Christianity, we need to present ourselves before God every day in spiritual or reasonable service. I've listed some ways in your notes, and you can see them down the list. I kind of keyed on the word daily the Bible uses. So these are spiritual sacrifices that we want to offer every day. So number one, let's pray every day. It's kind of an easy one. Let's pray every day. And no time limit. The New Testament doesn't say you need to do it 3 times a day. It doesn't say 5 minutes here, 12 minutes there. No time limit, no obligation on that, except the obligation to pray. Just pray. Under the Old Testament, David said in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Jesus taught his disciples to pray when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. So he said, after this manner, pray ye. And part of that instructional prayer was the phrase in Luke 11, verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. So if God, I'm alive today and I'm alive tomorrow, I'm saying, God, I need this today. This is on my mind today. You know, yesterday is gone, but today I have something new taking place in my life. A place I need to go or an experience that I'm going to have. And God, I want your help with me. Bless me this day. Give me this day daily bread, the provision, help from above. In the Psalm 68, verse 19. I did not put that on here. In Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalmist said, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. Blessed be God. He daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. So, Brad, part of my daily prayer is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have loaded me with blessings today, and you did it yesterday, and you're going to do it again tomorrow. Daily prayer, part of my daily sacrifice, daily living. Number two is daily Bible study. And again, I'm not going to give you how long you should study or how much reading you should do. I'm just encouraging you for daily Bible study. You make that determination for yourself, but I want to encourage you in daily Bible study. Some would be able to read more Bible verses than others, or maybe have a longer Bible discussion than others, depending on your work schedule or life or family obligation situation. But let me just encourage you, as part of your reasonable sacrifice or service, daily Bible study. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6. Moses gathered all the people together before they went into the promised land. Moses, what are you going to say to the people? This is one of his comments or obligations he placed upon them. That these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Have a Bible discussion while you're just sitting. It says, and when you walk by the way. Some say, I don't have time for Bible study. Look, do you ever just sit in your house? You ever just, when you're walking, maybe from the car to the store, can't you just talk with whoever you're with, if it's a family member, whatever? Get done. Talk about Christianity, Bible verses. When you lie down, when you rise up, you'll bind them as a sign on your hand. They'll be as frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. might, the suggestion, you take out a 3x5 card and write a Bible verse there and tape it to the mirror in your bathroom. So first thing you see when you get up beside that face is a Bible verse. Put post-it notes all over the house. Bible verses as a reminder. Take just a moment. Oh, that verse took me 6 seconds to read. Walk in and do the dishes. Oh, there's another Bible verse. Why are you doing the dishes? I'll put the dishes in the dishwasher. Put that post-it on the dishwasher. But you get the idea. You can do this. Bible study. Acts 17, verse 11. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that. So Paul gives them a compliment. Gives them a word of praise and encouragement. He says, you know, look at this. This is noble. A good thing to do. They were more noble in that. Number one, they received the word with all readiness of mind. Received the word. And they examined the scriptures daily. Every day. Examined the scriptures daily. To see whether these things were so. In other words, prove all things. And then hold to that which is good. Have some maybe good study books in your home. You can take this outline. I know Don told me a long time ago, you know, he'd take these outlines and use them for his daily Bible study. I'm just going to review the sermon that I heard, you know, Sunday morning and use this to read throughout the week. I know some others take these outlines home. They mail them to family and friends. Share them with people at the workplace. The daily Bible study. When you consider how much time we spend preparing for success in this life. I have two grandchildren, one in preschool, one in kindergarten. And I'm starting to think already, you know, here's Wiley in preschool. There's 1 year, or really two. Then he's going to go to kindergarten. Then he's going to go 12 years of public education. Then he may go to, after preschool, kindergarten, 14. He's already 14 years in education just for success in this life. Then he may go to a trade school or college. Then if he wanted to continue his education past that, so we already have 12, 14, 4 years of college, 14, 16. If he does postgraduate work, or I'm not, 16, 17, 18, I don't want to discourage him. I'm not going to tell him, Wiley, you have 18 years of school before you ever get out into the workplace. Possibly. Are you going to be satisfied with an hour of worship in preparation for eternity? In some ways it requires 12, 14, 18 years to prepare for success in life. Make time for Bible study as preparation for eternity. That's the encouragement I'm trying to give. Number three, daily evangelism. Daily evangelism. In Luke 19, verse 47, he, meaning Jesus, was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests and scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. They didn't like what he had to teach. In Acts 5, verse 42, every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as Christ. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 31, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So there might be in your life and mine an occasion for daily evangelism. You may think, well, Brian, how can I do that every day? And you can. You know, we start with our weekly worship in the outline. Just share that with somebody. There's the start. Attend a Bible class. You may not know it, but everyone here, when you make that contribution financially to our, when you put it back to the treasury, you support our website. When Clarence gave a lesson a month or two ago about our website, and he reported how many hits are on that website every day. You don't know it, but there are people, if you haven't worked there for that lesson, there are people across our nation, also records audibly this sermon, and it goes on our website, and there are people around the world who are finding out about 10th Street Church of Christ website, and they listen into it every day. You and I evangelize every day through our website. So don't think, well, just because I don't sit across from someone every day, I'm not evangelistic. You and I are evangelistic in doing that. We support missionary efforts. Look at the back of the bulletin, the people that we support financially. So they are going out every day. We support two families at preacher training schools. We have individuals here that are literally sitting across the table from someone. So when I use this daily evangelism, don't think that, oh, I'm not doing that. But in one way, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Number four is daily exhortation. Hebrews 3, verse 13, exhort one another daily while it's called today. You can do that. You're probably already doing it. You make the phone call. Oh, someone was absent. I'm going to give them a call this afternoon or tomorrow just to see how they're doing. Or you may make them visit. Send the email or the text. Or you exhort even right here after we end this assembly, and you stand up and you begin to encourage one another. Oh, I missed you last week, or I'm glad you're here today. I've always looked forward to seeing you. That's daily exhortation. We do that in the aisles. We do it in the hallway. We do it in the parking lot. And it starts today. But you and I do it all the time. You may not think of it in those terms. You call a family friend, you call someone to say, how are you doing today? And that's a daily exhortation. We call someone to cheer them up or just to find out how you're doing. We note in the bulletin those who prayerfully remember. Oh, who I should call today? Open your bulletin. Who should I write a card to today? Open the bulletin. So I encourage you to be involved in daily exhortation. Number five, daily ministration. Daily ministration. The story in Acts chapter 6. There was a disturbance that arose in the Jerusalem church over the Grecian widows that said they were being neglected in the daily ministration. So this congregation in Jerusalem saw a need and they took care of it. In verse 2, of Acts chapter 6, says, then the 12, meaning the apostles, they summoned the multitude of disciples together. So they gathered the church together. They said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now our mission is not to choose one over the other. It's not to choose preaching versus helping others. It's both. As a congregation, we want to involve ourselves in education, Bible teaching, Bible preaching. But we also want to involve ourselves in asking, what can I do for you? What do you need? And as a congregation, we're probably already doing this. Because you're no doubt helping family members, neighbors, friends, maybe people in the workplace. Maybe you're using our food pantry that we have. And you're very welcome to that. If you know someone that needs groceries, there is a room back here. Just see one of the men. If you've never seen that, after church, stick around. We'll take you on a tour. We can do that. I want you to be aware of what's available so that we can take care of one another. I don't know how they did their daily ministration in Acts chapter 6. We're not told. I don't know how many people they served. I don't know what time of day it was done. I just don't know. But it just said they were involved in a daily ministration. And we're always going to have opportunities to help one another. Matthew 26, verse 11, Jesus said, for you have the poor always with you. There will always be an opportunity. In Galatians 2, verse 10, we should remember the poor. Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. So we have opportunity every day to help someone else in some way, daily ministration. Number 6 was daily cross-bearing. daily cross bearing, part of our spiritual service or our sacrifice. Jesus said it this way, it's in your notes, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any man will come after me, well, that's me. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to come after him, be a disciple, a student, a learner, a follower, an imitator of the Master. So he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. He gets first place. Take up his cross daily. There's the word daily again. Every day. Take up his cross daily. Follow me. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, he that takes not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So there's a cross that we will have to bear. And no doubt that cross will come in some form of ridicule or mockery or just hardship of some kind. In putting Jesus first, that means we'll have to sacrifice some self-interest, some self-glory, some self-trust, some self-righteousness, some self-pleasure, some pleasures of life. Because we're going to take up our cross, that's a cross that we bear. We even sing a song, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? And the hymn writer answered it saying, no, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. So Christianity involves in our daily service, in our spiritual service, cross-bearing. Cross-bearing. Might be some hardship in doing that which is right. That's bearing a cross. Then the last one. With all of these in place, these first six, there'll be another daily. That's daily results. In Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added to them, meaning the church, daily, those who are being saved. In Acts 16, verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increase in number daily. So when we involve ourselves in all of these things, there will be daily results. Now broaden your sights on this particular point. Don't think just in this congregation. That'd be nice if we had daily results just here. But it says the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. So think about the churches and brethren, not only here in Imperial Beach, but across the freeway in Chula Vista. And in San Diego, and California, and the United States, and the world. And when we have brethren all worldwide doing these daily sacrifices, involving themselves in daily service, there's daily results. Somewhere in the church, in our world. Our closing prayer is not, who has closing prayer today? Our prayer is not, Lord, now that we leave you for another week. Lord, we leave you till we meet again. No, that's not the prayer, John. Lord, now that we've gathered together as a church, we're still the church and we become scattered. Lord, now that we've enjoyed our assembly of worship, let us live our lives as it should be in daily living. You got that? Don't say, now we leave you for another week. Some brethren think that, though. Well, we've had our assembly. Thank you, God. I'll see you next Sunday. But the church gathered today becomes the church scattered tomorrow through Saturday. Let's live our lives accordingly. That's the lesson. I know Dennis Everett's going to have a chance to build on this at the end of the month because we're going to be away again. So, Dennis, you're very welcome to do that. The brethren should hear this again. Be reminded of what I just did. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Now, remember the New Testament church. You've heard the good news that God so loved the world. He sent his only begotten Son. You heard that biblical message, and you believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Jesus also said, except you repent, in Luke 13, verse 3, you'll perish. And then, based upon hearing God's word, that loving message, and we believe it, number three, we repent, I want to turn my life around, I want to take up my cross, I want to follow Jesus. confess our faith that Jesus is God's Son. And then based upon that, we can be baptized. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So that belief and baptism and salvation are all in that same verse. And so that's what we preach. It's a biblical message. It's a biblical invitation. You're subject to that. You've never been baptized for remission of sins. You have that opportunity. Just let your request be known, and we can accomplish it right now. So let's stand together and sing the song that's been selected for us.